Brian Foley is on, your former Hartford PD. You've never seen anything like this, right?
You certainly know we have. You know, the funeral homes in Hartford, you know, there's not for an 89-year-old woman that passed away. You know, you see this when, like, a gang member gets arrested or gets killed, and they're having his funeral, and there's sometimes you hire or you have the cops in that neighborhood do extra attention at the funeral home to make sure everything's calm and safe. So you see a lot of dust-ups like this. You'll see shootings and stuff occasionally outside a funeral, but it's usually violence or gang-related. This is just raw emotion, family and friends, after a death. I mean, you know, you can kind of expect that. 89-year-old woman, you know, there's grazing, shooting, stabbing, a big melee, kind of one main actor, and he was arrested. And
but shots inside the church, shots outside the church, all from one shooter or two shooters?
Yes, I believe just one guy. Yep,
one guy. Oh,
so you know, it's unfortunate that it happened. The cops actually helped. They were pallbearers after that. That bunch of cops helped get, you know, the funeral underway after that. There's a pretty good picture of it actually floating around online of the cops helping. With, you know, it's an old, in the end, it's an 89-year-old lady.
Yeah.
And, you know, emotions are just, people are not at their best at a funeral. I ain't making any excuses for that guy, that's for sure.
No.
But I understand it.
Yeah, it's so I thought it was two people shooting at one another. And I thought, well, how surprised was the first guy when the second guy started shooting back?
Right.
It's like, wow, I'm not the only one who brought a gun.
Right. How many more are there?
Yeah.
Well, that's the way I talked to somebody in there last night in the investigation. I'd heard it was just basically one person involved. Now, maybe they're still looking. I don't know. But it was not like an ongoing like gang violence thing or anything like
that. Well, the shootout, yeah.
Wow. And then somebody gets stabbed.
Yeah.
At a funeral.
At a funeral.
It's funny because I'm judgy when someone's not dressed right.
Uh-huh. Right.
And like, this is a whole nother level of not being, you know, it's not only you're not dressed right, these are just bad manners.
Exactly right. Inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
Yeah, you don't wear a gun to a funeral.
Right. Right. Yeah, which gun do I wear to the church?
Right. My formal gun or my day-to-day gun?
This is my going out gun.
Oh, right.
The pearl handle for sure.
Right. Yeah. This one's much nicer in public.
Brian Foley is on, former Hartford chief of detectives.
Yeah.
Former assistant chief of the entire police department. And then went on to become the assistant to the whoever on the state
the
emergency
Grand Poobah.
Medical what emergency
thing. Why me? That's enough. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll read that directly from the business card.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
But, like, the state police and all the state emergency agencies reported to you and your buddy.
Yes.
Yeah. I was assistant to the commissioner of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, which oversaw seven departments, including the state police. And now I'm the town manager of the lovely town of Tolland.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm going to ask you to handle all this.
Next week, a beekeeper.
But we qualified him as an expert.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And I asked him a few weeks back, have you been following this Karen Reed retrial?
Yeah.
And he's like, not really. And then he texts me, I've dug in a little bit and I'm hooked.
It happens to everybody.
Wow. Yeah.
Everyone was texting me and asking me, you know, my friends and such, you know, what do you think? And I don't want to get involved because it turns into work, you know, and I just kind of, you know, tune it out and trying to go about my way. And then this weekend, I ended up watching a whole bunch of stuff on it. And it is just... It is a wake-up call for all of law enforcement. Beyond the is she guilty or is she innocent stuff, it is just a wake-up call. And then is she guilty or is she innocent? She is innocent. That is an innocent woman. Those cops had something to do with John O'Keefe's death, it's insane. The lack of professionalism, you know, coming as a former homicide detective, as a former chief of the homicide bureau, the professionalism, there's no room for errors. There's no room for unprofessionals. There's just none. Zero. Zip. Everything is by the numbers. And how many times have I said it on this show? Everything is a murder until it isn't. I've said this 100 times on everywhere. Everything is a murder until it isn't. And this is just a disaster of an investigation. Horrifying. And I feel, you know, this woman she's not guilty. The cops inside, all the incredible shady stuff that went on, there is no doubt in my mind. I'm not 99% sure. I'm 100% sure she did not kill that guy.
Wow.
Because I was kind of leaning towards maybe she did, but then these cops were worried about something shady they were doing on the side, and then this is why all the shady activity after. Okay.
Text deleted, phones destroyed, stuff missing, the dog's gone. Like, it's a whole bunch of weird stuff.
What cop at 1:20 in the morning leaves a party after drinking all day and all night in a snowstorm and drives to the police station? And then when he leaves there, has a conversation with the cop who lives at the house where the dead body was found.
Wow.
Who never came outside.
Never.
You had fire, police, ambulance.
All right, let me pause you for a second.
Go ahead.
Number one, in my estimation of why this guy is guilty, there's a dead Boston cop in his front yard. He is a Boston cop. There's a dead Boston cop in his front yard. There's fire people. There's ambulance. They're like, oh, my God, we just found him. He never walks outside his house. He never goes out to say, hey, gee whiz, what's going on out here? They never go in and ask him for help. His sister-in-law who's there when the body's found, they never run in and say, help us, help us, help us. You're a cop. You know CPR. You know all this stuff. He never went outside. His buddies are outside. His Canton cops are outside. That's like me having a Hartford cop die in my front yard, and I'm just going to stay in the house and hide, down in my bedroom and close the door. Anything happens outside my house, everyone's out there, especially cops. And for a dead cop? Nope. That's not how people act. None, zero, never. And so that stuck with me so much that to show his guilt of this whole thing. Forget about, on the cop who died, O'Keefe's body, that those are dog bites. I looked at that impartially before anyone said anything to me. I just looked at the picture. They hadn't said what it is. And I'm like, those are dog bites. Like, having been bit by a dog, having seen, 1,000 police dog bites, those are dog bites. And that could never happen in a car accident at any sort of low speed and then only be isolated to that one. There's dog bites. That's all there is to it. I mean, anyone who looks at it is dog bites and is ignored. This guy has a dog. Then the dog is gone shortly after the investigation starts. They rehome it.
Beloved family pet.
AJ.
Gone.
They have a beloved family pet.
Right.
And they rehomed the dog.
Oh.
Immediately.
Immediately after this.
It's a different name, too.
They've had this house in their family for 50 years. They sell the house.
Wow.
Cop never
after
comes out.
After they refinished the basement.
Yeah, ripped up the flooring.
After they refinished the basement.
Wow.
Goodness.
I mean, it's so obvious to me. The tragedy is because, real homicide investigators didn't get in there and the cops didn't approach it as a homicide right from the beginning. And I know it's a blizzard. So you wait it out. You don't touch anything. You wait it out. You secure the area, and you do the best you can.
Well, they never did that.
No, they didn't do any of that.
No, they didn't secure the area. They didn't go in the house. They didn't question people in the house. They didn't call it a crime scene. They didn't take pictures.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
You knock on every door. Wow. Hello, my name is so-and-so from the police department. Did you see anything? Do you have any video camera? We were doing this, 15 years ago. Before video was even a thing, do you have anything? This is a basic neighborhood canvas. And it's astounding. And so then you find out the guy who owns the house, his brother is as the chief defined of the best detective in the police department, but the Canton Police Department. So his brother is the detective in the Canton Police Department who's responding to this.
Wow.
And then his friend is, when it goes to the state police, this cop's friend, Albert, whose brother's the guy in the house, one of his best friends is the trooper that gets assigned the investigation. And it is just so incredibly shady. I am astonished at how horrible it is, how many failures there were in again, that's not how we did things in Hartford. Everything was so you couldn't. And then how about the text messages of the detective about Karen Reed? Good looking, doesn't have an ass, stuff like that.
No nudes yet.
Wow.
He's going through her phone. No nudes yet.
Wow.
Then he called her something like a whack job bitch. Oof. 16 hours into this investigation.
Wow.
Look, cops, when you get to a scene, that those first 2 minutes where it's just you, another detective, and a dead body, you guys say things. When you're sitting at your desk across from each other, you say things, but it's into the atmosphere. It's gone. And it's a part of coping with the scene.
Yeah.
Beyond that, there's no room for that. You can't, you cannot do that kind of stuff. How are even your friends, are they going to trust you doing an investigation? You're doing that kind of stuff, and but you got to draw the line. And this is a disaster. And the chief is gone. Everyone's gone. I mean, they've all the cops involved here have since either been fired. The trooper, that the lead investigator, was fired. The Boston cop whose house it was, he's retired and gone. They are all gone, and they destroyed their phones like immediately. The text, how long does it take for someone to die of hypothermia at 2:30 in the morning? I mean, it's just...
They have not a bad answer to that. Why would you text how long to take to die in the snow? Because an expert came on and said that she opened up a search at 2:20. She was searching other stuff.
Uh-huh.
And that opened up a tab. And so when 6:30 rolls around... or six whatever, and she Googles that,
uh-huh,
that tab was still open. So it shows the time the tab was open,
uh-huh,
and the text as being the same, but they're not.
They also show that she deleted the search.
Yeah.
Correct. So the search happens, fine, she's got the tab, but the search gets deleted.
Why did you delete?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Odd, and you know, I'm gonna stick with Cellbrite now. If you look at the evidence, Cellbrite is the company that analyzes it, and I'm gonna stick with them every time. They are the number one. That's who does it, and you stick, and they dispute what you just said, that it's when it opened the tab, and yes, again, she deleted it. Why only that one would you delete? You know, it just stinks out loud. It stinks of, I think my guess is they beat the crap out of him. Now, remember, that's right. The dead cop had just made a complaint with the Canton Police Department that there's drug activity in that neighborhood. And then, you know, obviously this stuff happens to him. You know, it's everything is shady here. Everything. And the problem is, you know, I've known too many cops like that. I've known too many women like Karen Reed. Like that, I, she's innocent, and those cops are involved in this. Zero doubt in my mind.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
They'll never prove who did it unless someone's going to have to cough, you know, unless they can put the squeeze on somebody, put a grand jury on them. And they might, this is a candidate to open a grand jury into, you know, all the corruption, and really just start digging in. And compel him to speak.
I've never seen so many cops in one trial look so bad. They all look bad. They all look arrogant,
yeah,
and combative and,
yep,
dirty.
A mess.
You know, douchey.
Yeah.
Like, they don't look good.
Yeah.
Like, not one.
Wow.
Not one. Not one got up there and I was like, okay, that's a solid cop.
Yeah, no.
They all look not
one
great.
One after the other.
Yeah, one, yeah, after
and
another.
This is a cop's death. I mean, we like to say all investigations are treated the same way. Everyone's treated the same way, but we know the truth's a little bit different. When a cop dies, there's an extra level of everything on it. Every investigator, every forensic, everything you can do. How did that not happen here? It's a cop. It stinks out loud. I can't wait. I really hope they open a grand jury, compel everyone to speak, and people start cracking. That's what I hope.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there's certainly enough reasonable doubt here for her to not be convicted.
Yeah.
And she already beat the murder charge, if you look at the stuff from the first trial. But for some reason, they had to group it back in again with this trial. She'll beat the murder. There's no way she would have known. The arrogance of the prosecutors, you know, the prosecutors spend their whole careers believing the cops. Their entire career. So not blindly, but pretty close to in some cases. And I think that's what you had here in the initial part. Now, they have to do the second trial. They have to clear this lady of murder. That I believe that is a part of what they're doing, is to get her clear. I believing in good faith. I could be wrong because it's such a clown show up there. It sucks that she has to go through this, but she'll beat the murder for sure. Catch a DWI.
Did you see the accident reconstructionist, how bad that guy was?
Awful.
Really?
Didn't know the weight of the guy, didn't know the weight of the vehicle, didn't know the mass of the vehicle.
Oh, man.
He kind of like, I don't know if he rolled or not. It's like, okay, well, then he flew through the air. I don't know if he flew through the air. There's no proof. Exactly.
Wow.
It's like this guy.
And he was shaky,
yeah,
too. The medical examiner, how does she not? I look at those injuries. I haven't seen a ton of pedestrians killed by motor vehicles, but I've seen enough. But I've certainly seen a lot of murders. And the injuries that I see there, just the head and that arm, the arms are, it's dog bites. On the arm is dog bites. Both sides of the head, his eyes are swollen shut. It's impossible. Unless somehow his legs got caught up or his head got caught up in the wheel well and spun around a couple times and his whole body was wrapped in a mattress except for his right arm, which had some glass shards in it. It's impossible. And the medical examiner, there's so many complacent failures at every level. Do I think everyone was involved in the crookedness? No, but there was such failure and complacency, and you want to believe the cops, and so you kind of give them the benefit of the doubt, and it just leads to this insanity.
Wow.
What about the did you watch the opening statement from the state?
Nope.
And he did a pretty compelling layering of GPS from John O'Keefe's cell phone, the health movement tracker.
Yep.
And now it's not just steps. It's if you move your arms, it also moves.
Okay.
And the black box of the car. And he was able to tell this story of how they rolled up. He gets out. She drives up 35 feet, stops, hits the accelerator 75%, but it's snowing, so the tires spin, car backs up, hits him, he flies through the air, lands, and then it doesn't show that phone moving again.
Huh.
And that was all within a time period that it would have been her dropping him off.
Gotcha.
It was pretty compelling. I don't know if the defense took that apart yet, but
they're going to take it apart.
If I'm a juror, I have to see that timeline get broken apart. Because when I saw that, I was like, "Phew, she did it."
Yeah.
Now, so there exists the possibility. He gets bit by the dog, obviously, beat up pretty good inside, walks out, and then gets hit by the car. That's a theory, but that's not murder. I don't think she did it on purpose. And then did you listen to her voicemails after?
Yeah. No one's going to be that mad, screaming that mad, like, you're sleeping with another woman after,
You killed somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You'd be the opposite. I miss you. I love you, and trying to lay down those tracks. Those are the voicemails of an innocent woman. There's no doubt in my mind.
Wow.
Well, I'm in now. I'm convinced. I was borderline. I was like, I don't know how this one went.
No, there's no way.
No.
Impossible.
It'd be a great movie.
I've never heard you so mad on the air, by
Seriously,
the way.
Seriously, yeah.
No, it's because it's cops and it's our profession. And, it's not what I saw. It's not what we lived. It's not how the Hartford cops do things. There are basics. As the lieutenant, you don't go in the scene. As a deputy chief, I'm not going in the scene to take investigative action. I'm staying outside. No, thank you. I do not need to be in there. They will want a report. I'm going to stay out here and do nothing. Let me know how it goes, boys. Just failure. It's an embarrassment to law enforcement, prosecutors, medical examiners. The medical examiners is a massive failure here. Mm. It's an embarrassment all around.
All right, Brian, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
See you guys.